now, if you will, please turn to Genesis chapter 22. I'd like to speak on one of my favorite chapters of Scripture, Genesis chapter 22. I'm not all sure that I have the key to the whole chapter here, but the Lord has given some thoughts, and I'd like to share those with you this morning. It's a tremendous chapter, and it's a chapter that each one of us should study diligently and personally apply in our lives, because there's a rich amount of blessing in the understanding of this passage. And you know, the more we study the Word of God, and the more you study this chapter, God will open up insights. If you come to Him with an open heart, He will show you things from this chapter. And continually, time and time again, I have gone back to this chapter, and it seems like each time I go back to this chapter, God lifts something else out, helps me to see through His Spirit another gem of a truth from this passage that is just a blessing to my soul. And so I pray that that might be the same for you as well. Now we'll be reading Genesis chapter 22 from verses 1 through 19. Hopefully my voice won't go on me as I read. Beginning at verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cut the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." And God has promised to bless His Word, as it's read. Now, prior to today, actually prior to yesterday, I had in mind to speak on another message, speak on the life of Elijah. But as I was preparing that message, continually different things came up in my mind regarding this passage. So I took that as from the Lord that this would be the passage this morning that we'd be speaking on. And so I have studied this passage, as I said, in my life. And so I'm bringing out insights that I have accumulated down through the years from this passage of Scripture. And I'd like to really examine this in light of the topic of trials and testings. And we'd like to get a handle on that. Take a look at the life of Abraham. You know, God desires reality to our faith. He desires that we have a true, total commitment to Him. It says in Scripture that He wants our heart, not just a part of it, but He wants our heart. I think I've spoken from this assembly before, quoting that verse in Proverbs, "My son, give me thine heart." So God wants our heart. He wants all that there is to us, our will, our mind, our emotions, our intellect, everything that we have. God would desire for us to give that to him and commit that to him so that our fullness, so that we might have fullness of joy, that our joy might be full. And here in this great chapter of Scripture, we see the test that Abraham goes through, the test that sort of pits against his faith in God, his desire to be totally committed to him, to God. It's his desire to be committed against him, against what he desires most in his life, and that is Isaac. So let's take a look at this passage in the light of that. The testing of Abraham, the testing and trials that he had to undergo. Let's take a look at verse 1. It says here, "It came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said it to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I." There's a major purpose behind tests. And a purpose behind tests is to wean us away from our own schemes, our own desires. They are to get our eyes off ourselves. It's to look more toward the Lord, to make our dependence upon him. And think of that verse of hymnology by Mrs. Lemuel. She was a blind person. And she said, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth shall grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." You see, we must get our eyes completely off of ourselves and onto God. Think of that passage in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. Let's take a look at that passage real quickly. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. Regarding our trials and our temptations. 1 John chapter 6. Chapter 1, rather, verse 6. I'm sorry. 1 Peter. I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 1. I knew that verse didn't make sense as soon as I looked at it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, "In this ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." The reason for trial to our faith is to wean us away, as I said, from our own schemes, our own desires, to put our eyes completely on the Lord and take them off of ourselves. So that's what Peter refers to. And here in this passage, we see the great test that comes to Abraham. A test to see whether his commitment is total with God or not. To see if he loved his son more than he loved God. And you know, sometimes test comes into our lives to determine whether our commitment with God is truly real, to see how deep that commitment is. Here it says, "came to pass after these things." What things? Well, Abraham had gone through a series of tests before, if you recall, in previous chapters. He had various tests he went through, and yet God was continually bringing tests to him. You know, God has a program of ongoing development for each one of us. No matter how old we are in the faith, God continues to bring us through tests and trials to cause us to look completely toward him. I like those words of Job who said, "He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Job knew. And there was a man that experienced some of the most severe tests that I can see recorded in Scripture. He knew what it meant to be tested and tried. And yet he could say confidently, "He knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, or when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Just as Peter referred to in that passage that I just read, to clear away the dross in our life. And so God brings tests into our lives. And so here he is bringing Abraham through a test. And it's interesting to notice what Abraham's response was. He said, "Behold, here am I." Now, here's the real indication of the depth, actually, of Abraham's commitment. He was very willing to be accepting of that test that was coming his way. Behold, here am I. Sounds just like Isaiah, doesn't it? In Isaiah chapter 6, who will go? The Lord asks. Isaiah responds, here am I, send me. Very much of a willing heart. And the test that's going to bring the maximum effect in a person's life, the maximum benefit, is the one where a person is absolutely willing to let God do with him as God will. Behold, here I am. I think of that verse in James. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. As I said before, God wants us to have fullness of joy in our lives. And these tests will come with that purpose. We can rest assured, by the way, I should mention at this point, you can rest assured that anything that comes into your life, God allows it into your life, and it comes under His permissive will, under His permissive hand. Anything at all, you can be assured of that. Job was a man that was perfect, Scripture says, mature in his faith, a mature citizen in society. He had plenty of riches. He had a wonderful family. He had influence. And yet God brought into his life these various trials and tribulations. We read in that chapter, that first chapter of Job, that Satan came before the sons of God and accused Job. And he said, if you take away all these things, he'll curse you. And yet the reality of Job's faith was seen in his response, that he did not charge God with folly, Scripture says. He did not charge God with folly. He did not curse God, even though his wife was trying to encourage him to do that. He did not do it at all. And so his faith was real in every sense. So here Abraham has the willing heart. And we read in verse 2, and he said, God did, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Someone has said that's the first reference to the word love in Scripture. And here it's with Isaac and Abraham, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Sometimes trials are not completely understood, and the purpose behind those trials are not completely understood until later on. Sometimes as we go through life, we experience many trials. We don't understand why God brings us through these things. And yet, God leads us along. I love all those hymns that refer to that truth. God leads us along. Even though we may not see the purpose behind trials, the purpose behind testings, God leads us along. He shows us those things as we go along. But they're not seen necessarily right out front. That's what God says to Abraham. He says, offer him for a burnt offering into a mountain that I will tell thee of later on, upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of later on. Abraham had this great test. Here was his only son whom he loved. And God was testing whether his faith and his commitment to him was really real. And so he said, offer him upon the mountain. And so what did Abraham do? Well, verse 3 tells us, he rose up early in the morning. And it says, he saddled ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cut the wood for the burnt offering. Now that's an example of prompt obedience. There's something that can be said about Abraham right here in regard to obedience. It says that he rose up early in the morning. That's prompt. He rose up early. He didn't debate it in his mind. He didn't stall. He didn't question God. It says that he rose up early, did not debate, and he went up and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. You see, that's an indication of the depth of Abraham's commitment to God. Even under this severe trial that he was going to be undertaking, it says that he rose up early and did what God told him what to do. I think of a passage in John chapter 2 where Mary, the mother of Jesus, was talking to the servants. And you might recall the verse. She said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, referring to her son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whatsoever he telleth you to do, do it. You know, sometimes when I read that passage and I consider my own life, sometimes I write those words across something that God has given me to do. And those words echo in my mind. Whatsoever he telleth you to do, do it. Whatsoever he telleth you to do, do it. That's obedience. That shows that we really love God. You know that verse in John chapter 15? It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So Abraham has his test. God brings it before him. And so he rises up early, and he does exactly what God would have him to do. Now that's an interesting thing when you really consider the impact of what was going on here. If you recall, Isaac was the promised seed. He was the promised seed to Abraham. God said, I will make many nations from you, and your seed will be blessed. And here he is taking his son. And as this passage says, thine only son, he was taking his son. And he was going to sacrifice him. God had asked that to be done. I wonder what was going through Abraham's mind at that time. I wonder if he said, well, I wonder if I got the story wrong. I wonder if I'm misinterpreting it. I wonder if there's something else that has to be added to it. Well, I don't see that in the passage. I see Abraham rising up and going. And yet it must have been a hard thing for him. A hard thing to part with his son, or even the thought of parting with his son. God's promise, it would seem, was becoming invalid, that God was going back on his word. And yet we see that Abraham rises up. And so he takes his son, it says in verse 3, and he cuts the wood for the burnt offering, and he rises up, and he went unto the place which God had told him. And then in verse 4, we read, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. You know, in my Bible, I have written on the margin, that's faith's vision. That's faith's vision right there. Now, it wasn't after the first day, or the second day, or the third day. Or I should say it was on the third day that Abraham saw the place that God had told him of. And you know, when you overlay these truths, these principles against the backdrop of trials and temptations, sometimes we do not, I should say testings, we do not see God's purposes immediately. When something happens in our life, or in the life of a loved one, and we go through some difficult days, or some dark clouds along our path, we don't understand necessarily what's going on. What's happening? Why? We often cry out, why, God, is that happening the way it is? We don't see that right off. But if we are in an attitude of worship, and an attitude of obedience, God helps us to see that by faith. And that's what happens here in verse 4. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 says. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Someone has said faith has eyes. Faith helps us to see the unseen. Faith helps us, in the light of God's word, to see what's going on. And it may not be initially, as I said, the first day, or the first month, or the first year, whatever it may be. It might be occurring in a person's life in regard to trials and testings. And yet God, if we're led by his word, reveals at least part of that along the way. As we act in obedience, as we follow him and we're guided by him and his spirit and by his word. And so even though Abraham had this tremendous test before him, he still was obedient to God. And he still ventured out, not knowing where he was going. just God pointed in that direction to go offer him over there. And I'll tell you as you get closer. Well, verse 5, we see that Abraham said to the young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." You know, faith leads to worship. The end result of faith is worship. And that's what God desires most in our lives. He desires that our heart be completely turned over to him. But that would lead us into a state of worship. And it's an intensely personal thing. Here Abraham says to his young man, "You go over there, and I and the lad will worship here alone." An intensely personal thing. You know, as a person goes through trials, goes through some period of testing, it's an intensely personal thing. It's something that happens between that individual and God. And as that person gets alone with God and worships him and comes before the Lord with his word to reveal different things in life to him, God bless us. Verse 6 tells us that Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Again, it's coming down to the point of separating from the thing that he cherished most, Isaac, his only son. And here he had the most cherished possession before him, and he was going to sacrifice. What was God doing? Going back on his word? Was he leaving him? Was he not keeping his word at all? So it says that Isaac spoke unto Abraham and his father and said, "My father," he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. Now, if you read any of the older brethren writings, they do a masterful job on this passage right here in regard to the typology that we see. You know, because there's times that we can take Scripture and apply it personally to our lives. But there are other times that we can look at Scripture and study it, and we can see the work of the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning of that Scripture, Genesis, right on through to Revelation. And here we see a perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ right in these little verses. Taking a closer look at these verses, we see the type in Abraham, who delivered up his son, his only son. We see God the Father, as we read in John chapter 3. He gave his only begotten son that the world wouldn't perish. And so Abraham, even though he loved his son, gave him over to be sacrificed. And we see Isaac as a perfect, in this instance, picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was obedient unto death, who was willing to go to that sacrifice and to be killed. No struggle. Maybe a questioning. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And so here we see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaac. And an interesting thing, and I just picked this up the last time I studied this, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now, if you and I were writing the scripture, we would say, God will provide a lamb. But here we read, God will provide himself a lamb. Or maybe phrase another way, God will provide himself as a lamb. Because if we were following the grammatical laws that were taught in grammar school, we would write it that way. God will provide a lamb. But no, here is a picture inspired by God and the Holy Spirit years before the Lord Jesus Christ even arrived on this scene, looking forward to that sacrifice that would happen in the future. God will provide himself as a lamb. And you know, it's an interesting thing, because here Abraham said that a lamb would be provided. And what do we read later on in that chapter? we read that a ram was provided. And so it does not even seem that there's a connection. A fast reading of this scripture would tie in, you would think, verse 8 with the other verses toward the end where a ram was caught in the thicket. And yet that was a ram and not a lamb. And so here we see pictured the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, typified in Isaac. Then in verse 9, it says that they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wooden altar and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God had provided another sacrifice. God had provided another thing. And so the Lord Jesus Christ went all the way to the cross, however, but God raised him up from the dead. And so there was a new thing created, a new thing supplied by the death of Christ on the cross, and that is a resurrection from the grave. And that's something that no one else saw but God. Everyone saw when the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross, a dead person, but 3 days later he rose again from the grave, and he lives today. That was the substitution. That was the sacrifice that was made. And that is the way you and I have eternal life, because of Christ's death on the cross. So what is the end result here in verse 14? It says, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, it's an interesting thing when you compare that with other verses. In verse 2, it says, Go and offer him upon a mountain which I will tell thee of. So there's no indication as to what exact spot that sacrifice would take place. And yet in verse 4, as Abraham moves on in obedience, he sees the place afar off. After a while, he sees the place afar off, but he's not there yet. And here in verse 14, we read that God said, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. When you overlay this against trials, the whole idea of trials and tribulations, and things that happen in our lives are not readily seen. But as we move along in obedience, God helps us to see those things. And then at the point that the trial and the testing is accomplished, and God accomplishes his purpose through it, then we understand exactly what God had in mind. Again, if you recall what I said in the very beginning, that we are all in a constant program, an ongoing program of development in the Christian life. And we'll never finish. As long as we are here on this scene, God is constantly purging the dross from our lives, bringing us through different trials, different questions that we might have, different hardships. And he's bringing us through those things to help us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ in every way. So that we would have fullness of joy. That we would have complete and full joy. What is the reward that Abraham received? What was the reward that he received? Well, in verses 15 through 19, we see that. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. He received exactly what God had promised to him previously. He received the spiritual, carried on the spiritual heritage that God had promised him. He said, blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thy seed. And so God had kept his promise. So often when we are in trials and undergoing some testing, we can question whether God really truly loves us, or whether the Christian life is all that we thought it was, and that how could God go back on his word? And yet God never goes back on his word. Scripture says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will go before us wherever we go. That's what Scripture teaches. And though sometimes the pathway might be dark, and as the song says, he veils the pathway and covers the pathway oftentimes, we can know God is there at all times. I love all the Scriptures. Someone did a study one time of the presence of God, and there is a verse in Scripture for each area of a person. For instance, God is underneath us, God is over us, God is beside us, God is in front of us, God is behind us, completely enveloped by the presence of God. And there are Scriptures to back up each one of those areas. And so God never forsakes his own. He never leaves his own. But by faith we can see what God is doing in our life, bringing us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, drawing us nearer to him, taking our eyes off ourselves, taking our eyes off our own schemes, our own desires, off the things that shine in this world, and instead putting them upon himself. And so what is the reward that Abraham got? Well, certainly the spiritual heritage, but something else too, probably even greater, is that Abraham was in God's Hall of Fame. He was put in God's Hall of Fame. Let's take a close look at that real quickly to finish up in Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of great spiritual men down through the ages. God's Hall of Fame, someone has called it. And an absolute direct reference to this account. There was much more here than I'd like to read at this point. But in verse 17 of chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, we read, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, and here it is, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He that received the promise, had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. Isaac was as good as dead. As he lay there on the altar, as Abraham stretched forth that knife to plunge it down into his son, God spared him. But God saw his heart, Abraham's heart, and he saw that he was willing to follow him every step of the way. And so God provided something better. And Abraham had accounted that God was able to raise him up. No wonder Abraham in James is called the friend of God. Abraham has that title, the friend of God. He passed the test. He went through that test. And he passed it, as we say, with flying colors. Now, why this passage of Scripture? Why not a passage in the New Testament or some other passage in the Old Testament? Because God wants us to see the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we read. But he also wants us to see, too, the value of tests. He wants us to see from this chapter, from this passage, that tests bring us closer to him. Tests are designed to build us up, not to destroy us. That's the devil's work. When a test comes, God equips us to do everything to build us up. But the devil is working overtime to try to do everything to tear down, to destroy. And so that's the flip side of testing. But God does equip us to do all that we can do for him, so that we would have that fullness of joy referred to. Now that's the question for each one of us here this morning. Are you under any particular test or any particular trial? have any sort of thing that might be causing you some anxiety, some worry, something that you do not quite understand? Well, there's a passage in John that I just love when it comes to this. John chapter 13, no reason to turn to it, says, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Christ says to us, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Are you fully trusting in Him? I'm not referring now just to salvation. That's a once and forever decision. But now, as you walk along this pathway of the Christian life here on earth, are you trusting in Him all the way? Despite trials, despite some problems that might be going on in your life or some other person's life, God promises to be with us wherever we go. And as we look into this passage and we study it more and more, God will continue to open up and give us new insights into the value of trusting Him and obeying Him as we go forth in the Christian life. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank You for the tremendous message that has been recorded for us in Scripture. The test that Abraham had to go through, the trial, the parting with the thing that was most dear to him. We thank You, Father, that You have it recorded for our example so that we might profit from that. And here, Father, in this, the 20th century, we have all the opportunity in the world to succeed. The Holy Spirit who dwells within us forever. And the recording of Your commandments and Your words in this Scripture. We thank You, Father, for all that You've supplied us with. We pray that we might be faithful. And despite dark trials or testings that may come along in our pathway, Father, we pray that our eyes would be completely turned on You, that we would see Your purposes through faith, that we would promptly obey all that You would have us to do. Father, we do pray for this fellowship here. We thank You for all the people that are gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You would bless. We pray that You would build up and that You would edify us as we grow closer to You and look further into Your Word. Thank You, Father, for this day. And we do pray that Your words might be very near and dear to us as we go through it. And we pray too, Father, for the opportunity to witness to those that are unsaved, do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray that You would give us all those opportunities this week and help someone to find the way of life. Father, we do give You thanks for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.